Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to what's going to be the spiciest ever Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause, and joining me, we're in a really super cool place we're going to talk about, but first, it's a big barrel of fun. It's Bob Macko. How you doing, Bob?
Hi, Matthew. You already know how, but I suppose everybody wasn't privy to our earlier conversation show, so I should explain.
Yeah.
I'm in the worst mood I've been in the 110 episodes that we've done.
Now, why is that, Bob?
You know, I just like...
You're surrounded
because
with
friends?
Because
I'm a human being on this planet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And some days are good and some days are crabby.
Okay.
And you know me. I'm not one to hide how I feel.
Nope.
Right?
Sometimes could help if you did.
So anyway, why don't we call me Spicy B?
Okay.
Ooh. In the spirit of Pascal Siakam, I'm going to be Spicy B.
All
right.
Did
I tell you about the song my daughter wrote for him?
Your daughter has already written a song for...
Yeah, she's walking around the house and she's like making the spending money sign, you know, where you're like you're making it rain.
Yeah.
And she walks around going, Spicy P, shred the lettuce. Spicy P, shred the lettuce.
That's awesome.
Kinda.
That's
I want to know where she learned that, though.
Well, maybe where she learned it from.
Other parents are starting to not send their kids to our place because I think like they're exposed to too much. Because we don't hide our lifestyles.
Okay, see... I was originally going to go in like a vegan joke about shred the lettuce.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go there.
Okay.
Are you the house now, do you think, where other parents look at you and Sandra, and you guys are awesome.
Thank you. You've
created and raised a great daughter.
Trying.
Are you the house now that parents are like, how many times do you think this happens where Charlotte asks her friends, can they sleep over? And then the friend's parents go, why don't you sleep over here instead?
We have a lot of invitations to go to people's houses, but not as many kids want to come over to our house mysteriously.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I guess, you know what? Maybe it's because our daughter says stuff like, I love heavy metal.
Yeah.
You know, and like we go to Catholic school and people are really uptight.
Yeah. Catholic school and heavy metal don't always mix.
There's actually people. I remember there was this one joke, this one time we were organized something on a Sunday morning and it was like, I can't even remember, like a skate or something. Right. And Sandra says to one of the moms, you know, it's going to be Sunday at 10. And the mom says, I don't know about that. There's mass. And Sandra goes, I was about ready to go, yeah, don't want to miss mass.
Like the episode.
And then she realized the woman was serious.
That's like in the episode of Kids in the Hall when the guy's in court. And he's like, oh, no, I wouldn't want to lie to God. Did you do that murder? No.
No.
This is so easy.
I love that. I wouldn't lie. Hey, not to God. So there we are. So anyway, we're at George Strombolopoulos' house today.
Yeah, that's where I was going to get to. We are at George Strombolopoulos, and it needs to be said, this place, this is the cool guy place. And I don't mean that like in this sort of demeaning one. Like, this place is awesome, and it's downtown. You wouldn't know it. It's a lair. George, thank you for inviting us. Your place is about a kabillion times cooler than either Bob or I's place.
No, it's not. But I'm happy you're here, especially today. We've got Alexis on fire setting up in the living room floor.
Yeah.
We're working on a scripted project that is being printed on the upstairs floor. This is a full house of art. I'm just laughing listening to you guys talk because Bob's saying, I don't know why parents don't want to come over. And he said his daughter's walking around, Charlotte's making this like payment thing.
Making it rain.
She's doing the, what do you do at an exotic dancers club? And the best part is the stripper stuff probably didn't come from you. She learned it from your wife. Like your wife probably was watching some shows with her and just like, that's called making it rain, baby. Yeah. That's the reason.
By the way, George, I didn't want to make the stripper joke because Bob's mood is all over the place. So if I did daughter stripper joke with Bob here,
the only way you can do it is by saying that it was Sandy who probably made the joke to Cece because Bob definitely didn't do it. I could tell by your face when you came in that you were surly. You rarely come in surly, but I saw it when you came upstairs today. I can tell.
What was the joke from The Simpsons again? Surly takes care of one guy. Surly.
Sorry, Surly. Shut up.
Nice. Okay, well, there's two mics, so I want to give the mic. This is the Macko and Cause podcast, but we're glad you're here in the house, and I hope you...
You're willing to jump in at any time, though, Georgie, because George is just working like about 10 feet away, but Matt and I have important things to discuss, and when it's the Leafs, and I know you probably don't want to be part of that topic.
So wait, is this what people call sports talk?
Yeah.
There's going
to
be some.
I used to do it a few years ago. Yeah, it was a while, but
I vaguely remember.
As I understand it, the Maple Leafs are doing well.
They are. Yeah, but I mean, you know, heaven forbid.
My Mets are my favorite squadron.
Yeah, and once again, he can't comment on it, but to me, it was completely insane that the hardest working person in the media with a passion for hockey, but no, maybe they shouldn't be doing any sort of broadcast.
By the way, when that whole hockey thing went down, mm-hmm. you tweeted out something really lovely, and you didn't have to, and you worked for the competition, and you were still really sweet about it, and I appreciate that.
No worries, George. To me, everything's about meritocracy, and you work your ass off, and there's a reason why we threw you on Off the Record, because you knew more about hockey than most other people. Anyway,
quietly saying I'm a Trump supporter.
No,
that's what I heard, but I'm listening to a lot of political podcasts, as we've discussed.
All
right, so let's talk about the Leafs.
Hold on, we got to switch mics because
George switched our mics.
George switched mics here.
Ready?
That's
it. And I are going to do the E Street Band thing. Let's switch mics.
Who am I in E Street Band? Who's kidding? Who? I'm the drummer.
You're like, or you're like Gary Talent.
Yeah. I'm not.
You're Matty Talent. And who am I? Well, I'm obviously Clarence Clemens.
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely right? correct.
Well, I would call myself the boss, but we're describing the E Street Band.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're like, even by our standards, this is really ragged.
But you knew this episode was going to be less sporty because we're in a different location. You know what this is like?
No.
You know, on the sunny day when you get to have class outside and you don't actually do any work when you're like in grade 7, can we go outside for class? That's what this is.
Field trips are made to not learn.
Yeah. Oh, right? Absolutely. We're on a field trip. It's the field trip edition of the Macro and Cause podcast with Spicy B.
Somewhere in the universe, there's a picture of me and James Cushney drunk and passed out on the front lawn at U of T University College after our big grade 11 history tour of the Greek and Roman architecture around downtown Toronto. James and I did not take it as seriously as perhaps we should have.
Probably no, but who would? Would that be fun?
Anyway, okay, so let's talk Leafs.
Sure.
Because I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
But before I do, you had to follow last night's game. I'm not going to lie to you. I only watched the highlights because it was a West Coast game.
Started at 10,
right? So I didn't get a chance to watch really tons of the game, but I did follow it via the highlights. What was your take and what was the take this morning? Is everyone now excited? Like, has the pendulum swung the other way where everyone's now excited about Nylander?
It's absolutely getting there. Now, last night was more about Matthews and another two goals from the power play. So the great power play outage is now officially over until if they don't score against Arizona. The Nylander love is starting to come back. But there's still anti stuff there. And the great thing is I planted my flag day one saying I like the contract and my hot take on air, 2 years that deal's gonna be underpaid.
Right. It's not that hot a take. Like he's a 70-point guy.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's a hot take that only everybody has been saying for 6 months.
No, not the fact that since so many people can't stand
Okay,
Nylander.
Hang on a second. I got a hot take. All Leafs are now what, sixth in the league, fifth in the league overall?
Yeah, fifth
for us. I think they're a legitimate contender for a playoff run.
Okay, Bob.
I know I'm Spicy B today, but just any team that is in the top five of the league, I think you have to take seriously going into the playoffs.
Considering everyone
said, you got
any
more hot takes?
No, Bob, considering everyone said that Nylander's deal that he, you know, actually everyone said he was overpaid. Get out of here. Everyone said the other way that he was getting paid too much money. The Leafs should have held out. I'm the one who said the opposite.
You are a hero.
Thank you.
You are the Gary Talent of sports radio.
That's not a compliment.
Holding it all together.
So, yeah, it was more just Matthews getting the two goals. Riley looked good, even though Hainsey, that was one of the big takes. Is that
Hainsey? I'm glad to hear that because it means, here's the thing. Let's take that. I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I've been mostly thinking about it post Matthews' deal because now obviously it took us a mega nanosecond to start talking about Marner.
Yeah.
And I got to believe if I'm Marner in his camp, I hate Mike Babcock, right? Because he doesn't use my player nearly enough. You know, he demoted me to the fourth line last year. Like there's got to be some level of, it's not a traditional star coach relationship.
I think Marner's father and agent definitely feel that way. I think Mitch probably has a little bit of it, but maybe not as much as people
right. So let's say the camp and not the player.
The camp, yeah.
Right. And Mike Babcock, historically, I'm not telling stories out of school, like players have a hard time playing for him.
Yeah.
There were all kinds of rumors for years that free agents didn't want to go to Detroit because even though Babcock was really good, he was a real pain in the ass to play for.
Yeah.
You know, he obviously favors his veterans. You know, Marlowe is arguably their worst left winger, and yet he seems to be the one that Babcock relies on the most. What I would describe as backwards thinking.
Yeah, well, we did a poll question yesterday. Who would Babcock give a Valentine's Day gift to first?
Did Marlo win?
Marlo got a lot of votes. And
that's a good poll question.
Yeah, I voted for Hainsey. And my joke was that Babcock loves and trusts Hainsey more than my folks love or trust me. But yeah, you're right. Like Marlo, just that veteran thing. So he gets more run. You know, the funny thing about contracts, though?
No.
Is we're already done with Marner.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Dreger said yesterday?
Oh, is he on to Riley?
No. He's on to Kasperi Kapanen.
Oh, okay.
And here's the report.
That's a legit one, though, because he could get offer sheeted.
Get out of with offer sheeted. No one ever gets offer sheeted.
It's going to change. Actually is going to set up the big question I have for you, but please continue.
Well, no, just now it's there may be preliminary discussions next week between Kapanen's camp. Does anyone have a camp? And Kyle Dubas.
I want a camp.
You could have a camp because you've got all these projects.
How many people do you have to have in order to have a camp? Like, I have a wife.
Yeah.
But that's not a camp.
Yeah.
Well, like, is George Stramopoulos holds up his fingers four. And says four. Okay, so here's what I think you need to have a camp.
Yeah.
You need to have a lawyer, obviously.
Yeah.
You need to have somebody who's like a manager or an agent.
Yep, that's two.
And you need to have a chef. Mm-hmm. I don't...
Spiritual guru.
But you need a key part to this.
Okay.
You need the person inside who lobbies to get your ear that creates dissent with the other people in your camp, because there's always somebody who's irresponsible in one's camp.
So basically the Stephen Miller, if I were to go into the Trump family, like the Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
I'm listening to too many pods.
You're listening to way too many political pods.
That came too quickly.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on, you got to chillax. Everything's fine.
You're the best. You're the best. You are the human California rap.
Yeah, that's true. So that was a conversation. It was Matthews first, Riley, Hainsey back with Riley on the top pairing. It was a good win by Toronto.
It's a good win.
Yeah.
Everybody feels better when the power play scores. Mm-hmm. They weren't necessarily great 5-on-5, according to the reports.
Yeah.
And you've seen this back and forth, right? They don't seem to be able to put both together at the same time. Either they're really good 5-on-5 and their special teams stink, or it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Hopefully for the playoffs, this gets sorted out. I'm going to throw this out on the table now.
All right.
And I know this is stupid. I realize ahead of time this is a dumb comment.
I like it when you're all right. Go.
But I just feel it. I was watching Toronto play Montreal the other night, and they're very tough in the neutral zone. And they're very good at disrupting what the Leafs like to do, which is fly through the neutral zone. And I've thought back to Matthews in previous playoffs, who's been good, but not extraordinary.
He was good against Washington. He was bad against Boston.
Right?
Yeah.
And I keep thinking to myself, is he the kind of player that if you try to do three or four rounds in the playoffs, you're going to be able to knock him off his game? I know this is stupid. I get it. I realize there are people slapping their foreheads, but I can't help it. And maybe this is just the trickle-down effect of all this talk about heavy hockey and blah, blah, blah. But I watched him play that game, and I thought, this feels like a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only okay. One game, not technically science.
Yeah.
I just want to post this here. We don't even discuss it. Put a pin in it. I just want to mention this is a fear I have.
The first time they played, he scored the overtime winner to beat the Montreal Canadiens. So I'll just throw that out there.
I just want it on record.
Okay, you want it on record.
I want it on record. Because if you remember, when I started the year, the question I had about the Raptors was, who is most likely to be the sixth man of the year?
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet or Pascal Siakam?
Yeah.
And we decided that it was... anyway, we predicted Siakam's ascent.
Yeah.
Long before anyone else was talking about him.
We are number one.
So now, we are. We are truly. You are the Gary Talent.
Again, I don't feel that's a comment.
It
By
is.
The way, it needs to be said, your mustache is really, it feels a little more prominent today.
I don't know why. I noticed in the last couple
of days,
it got thicker.
Yeah.
It got thicker. I'm not quite at Lanny McDonald territory, but I feel Scottish. I feel robust.
Yeah. It's a good mustache.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I don't know how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
I did have the conversation with my daughter. I said, can I shave my mustache? And she said, I'll cry.
Really?
But this is what happened to my dad. Is my dad had a mustache for years, and then he tried to shave it, and my sister cried.
Yeah.
Because he looked different.
Yeah.
And he had to keep it for the next 40 years. So I think I just might now have to be a mustache guy.
Okay, you're a mustache.
And I don't think it looks good.
How does Sandra feel? How does your wife feel?
You know, she's indifferent. Like, she's overlooking so many other things.
Yeah.
Like, if she has time to get to the mustache, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. It's on her to-do list, but it's like way down on the list.
I was going to say I have a camp and that I have a wife and a driver, but they're the same person.
They are the same person.
So, you know.
And then, you know, it's funny. I was talking with our lawyer, Jeff Pollock, and we'll talk about him in a second. because he fed me a great line that the Valentine's Day card that Babcock would do first would be one to Roman Polak saying, "I miss you so much."
That's funny.
So we were
chatting. He chose him back in the day.
Yeah. And
I want to get back to this Babcock thing, though.
Okay, get back to the Babcock, then I'm going to get back to making fun of you.
Okay.
Go.
So I got to thinking about Marner, and I thought about Marner actually in the context of Kawhi Leonard. Because clearly, like Ujiri spoke the other day and just talking about how they're doing their best to impress upon Kawhi, this is the place to be, and they're selling him as an upcoming free agent. I thought we would never in a million years imagine that the Leafs have to talk to Mitch Marner that way. Mm-hmm. Never.
Yeah.
Now, they're different situations. One guy was traded there. One guy has already expressed an interest in playing Los Angeles. They're obviously different situations. But can you imagine a universe mm-hmm. where two Leafs fans had a legitimate conversation about what the Leafs had to do to convince Mitch Marner to stay in Toronto?
Oh, that would be, they would be upset.
It'd be inconceivable, right?
Oh, it'd be inconceivable. The idea that Marner wouldn't want to stay here long term, like we can't even, like that's an alien concept.
Right. Like you almost feel like.
I'm confused.
Do you remember that moment?
I'm confused by the words you use.
the moment in There's Something About Mary with Harlan Williams and 6 Minute Abs?
Yeah, well. Why don't you make them five?
No, not 6 minutes. Seven. Seven's the number. Seven little chipmunks swinging from a branch.
Yeah.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired. And I didn't do it because I don't want to go explicit today.
Yeah.
Should I do it?
I never. No, it's fine. People know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, the Marner's signing a long-term deal. And yes.
But Babcock's got to be a pain in the ass to play for. Like, they are kissing Kawhi's ass.
But they have to.
I know they have to, but this is my point is, deep down, and I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
In fact, I'll just dive there now so we don't spend 70 minutes getting to the point. I started to think, are the Leafs on the verge of becoming the first truly modern NHL team? Like, the team that feels the most, like, we talked a million times about the NBA and how the players view the league and their own roles in it and within their teams, and it has no resonance in the hockey world whatsoever.
Yeah, player
like empowerment. Like, even Tavares, right? Yeah. Like, the fact that he moved. Like, he practically cried. You know, like, there was a tearful departure, right? And I was listening to Chris Bosh on the Bill Simmons podcast. He's like, yeah, I had to get out of Toronto.
Yeah, well,
they're just two totally different emotional things.
Yes.
But are the Leafs, with Matthews and Marner and these young kids and the star power and their ability to conceive of themselves as brands, like, if they win, or even if they don't, and they're just really good, are we on the cusp of a hockey team that's filled with players that actually see themselves differently than players have ever seen themselves before?
No. Okay, no. Okay.
I'm not sure I agree.
That was a douchebag answer by me.
No, it was good. It was good. And it's probably the right answer.
We are seeing players are just so different now in the NHL than it was back in the day. Back in the day, it was all, and again, this was a slow thing. It was all about long-term deals. Now there are shorter deals. So players have more control.
5 years, right?
5-year deals. That is a big deal. Younger players have more power. So younger players will have more. There's more young player empowerment in the NHL than ever before.
Which is a function of when their peaks are.
When the peaks
relative to the CBA and their actual UFA years.
Yeah.
And the RFA is so much more fascinating as a contract negotiation now. Because the players are actually at their best during that talk.
Oh, yeah. They're at their best in early to mid-20s.
I started to think to myself, is Marner, like, is that the best place for him to be? Like, is Toronto the only place where, like, he could be a Hall of Famer anywhere? I started to think about Paul Kariya. Paul Kariya went to Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
He did okay there.
He did.
Like, obviously, he got hurt. You know, Timo Solani leaves Winnipeg, goes to Anaheim. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do we think it's inconceivable that a guy like Marner could just look at Toronto and say, you
because
know what?
Marner loves
like,
it.
I hate my coach. He's going to be here for the next 4 years.
Wait a minute. We don't know that he hates the coach.
Like, I'm just saying, but why wouldn't we think that? My point is not that he should think. It's like, we literally would not think that. We would not say to ourselves, well, Marner is kind of like a Kawhi. We have to prove to him that he's got to stay in Toronto. Like, we're so arrogant as fans, and we're so cowed by the fact that these players never do the thing that's in their best interest. We just assume he's available. He's the girlfriend that you'd stop, like, that you take advantage
of. But wait a second, Bob. Wait a second here. How do you know, like, do you know what the player's best interest is?
No, but why
can't we not just believe that, you know, there are different ecosystems with different sports and that Marner is just happy here and that he wants to be here long term?
So he's happy here getting too few minutes and not playing with the best player and being
he's playing with John Tavares.
Okay,
I think he's doing just fine. Bob.
You're right. That was not a legitimate point.
Don't cry for me, Argentina, on that one.
But you are kind of underlining my point here, which is all of these things you say as fans, we go, well, it's good enough. It's good enough. He must be a bad person if he chooses to move away from that.
No.
Whereas in other sports, we would just go, they'll make the best decision for them.
Yes.
Where he can make the most money, where he can be the happiest. Did you notice the weather out today?
Yeah.
It's not that good.
No.
It's not that good. You know where it is good right now?
Where?
Florida. What if Florida wants to blow it up and say, hey, you know what? We can build around a Mitch Marner.
Great. Go play in front of 500 people for the Florida Panthers.
But that's the arrogance of the hockey fan.
No, that's on the television set. No, I saw 500 people there.
You're right. But that's also presuming that your value system is the same as what the hockey players must have in their minds. I'm not disagreeing.
There's an arrogance to thinking you know what the value system of the players are.
But that's sort of what the hockey fan does, where I'm saying maybe there's two ways of looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's the he stays in Toronto. Maybe he's there. He doesn't want to be in Toronto. I keep reiterating this point.
Yeah.
I mention this because up to this point, it is inconceivable that a guy in his position would change and do a swerve, a heel turn, be anything other than exactly what we expect him to be, because hockey players are always exactly what they expect them to be.
Well, and that's...
Oh, and this is George Strombolopoulos jumping in.
That's the culture, but he's from Markham. So I think he's happy to play here, and I think he would rather play here with a guy like JT, and I think he would rather win here. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame anywhere he is. You're right, Bob, but there's one consideration here. This is now the beginning of a winning culture in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
No fan knows what that's like.
But also,
they're starting to come to terms with that.
Okay, and I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying, but if I rolled out these scenarios, right? We're talking about him taking $9 million bucks, whereas his camp thinks he's worth Matthews' money, which is 11.5. That's a $2.5 million difference. That's a lot of money over 5 years. That's like somewhere between $10 and $15 million that he could get somewhere else that he wouldn't necessarily get here.
I think he takes.
He's got a coach who's a ball buster. He's got a coach with whom he's had not necessarily a bad relationship, but an up and down one over his time here. These are things that in other situations we would go, maybe the team needs to prove to the player that this is the right spot for him. But with the Leafs, it would be like, well, of course Marner would take less because it's the Leafs.
I talked to a star player who used to play for the Montreal Canadiens who said to me he hated his coach. He hated working with his coach. And he said, but I realize, and all of us realize, is that we will play for a lot of different coaches over our careers, and some of them we don't like. These guys honestly don't put as much attention into the coach as one would think.
Let me ask you this. Really don't. Let me ask you this. If the Marner camp, and this is all hypothetical, and maybe it's stupid because it's hypothetical, but I'm trying to go for a larger point here. In basketball, your superstar doesn't like the coach.
Coach is fired.
By coach.
Yeah.
What if, like, Marner's and Matthew go, you know what, Matthews or whoever, or Riley or whoever has to come up, says, you know what, we're tired of playing at Babcock. We love it here. We love you, Dubas, and we love the fans.
Well,
But the coach has got to go. We would never think that would happen.
Can we live aid this right now? Where we're all
okay. Matt needs. Okay, Matt's trying to jump in here. This is like the E Street Band.
My rebuttal here: 2, 3, 4. is that in hockey? No player. This is the obvious point. Has the individual level of power or the ability to change a team, as in basketball.
Look, Montreal Canadiens have Carey Price, and they still can't get over the hump. Right? They have the best goaltender in the league, supposedly. I think you have a team that has Austin Matthews and John Tavares. Mitch Marner's bargaining position here isn't as strong as if he was Kawhi, because we gave up DeMar and so much else for it. I think that's the big difference. Also, there is no bridge that compares basketball in Toronto, Bob. You know that, right? There's no connection.
I understand, but what I'm saying here is there has been no connection. There has been historically zero overlap between basketball culture and hockey culture in terms of how players manage their own affairs.
Do you think it's generational that in 5 years...
Yes. George just asked the question off mic. Do I think it's generational? And here's the point.
Of course,
if you remember back to my hypothesis, it was, are we looking at the beginning of the first truly modern NHL team here, where players see themselves differently, where the power structure is beginning to swing?
Well, we already are. It's already here. 5-year deal for Matthews. And Marner, it's going
right?
to be. It's going to be. There is going to be a change. It's never going to be the same as basketball, because it's different sports where players are valued differently. As for the Raptors.
Okay.
You know the Raptors are with Kawhi Leonard?
Hmm.
They are 1,000 first dates. Because it's, do you not want to?
I've seen that with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, 1,000 first dates.
What's that, Kawhi? You don't want to play in a back-to-back, but Kyle Lowry is? Don't worry about it. You don't want to play this game? Fine. You want to go to the All-Star game? Great. whatever you want to do. Because when you go on a first date, and I talked about this on air today, I look in the mirror, I'm like, uh-oh, and then I'm like, I better work really, really hard. So you are on eggshells, and you're always on your best behavior, and you dress good, you smell nice, I make dinner reservations at two very different restaurants to provide different options for whomever I'm going on this first date with. That's what the Raptors are doing each and every day with Kawhi Leonard.
It's a great analogy. And can we sidebar and then come back to it?
Sure.
I imagine back in the day, you must have been a great first date.
I was a great first date.
You know, yeah. I could see you putting a lot of time and energy and thought into it.
Well, I did, because when you have low self-esteem about yourself physically and you're horny, you put those two things together and you're going to be great on a first date.
You know what I used to do for a first date? Mm. I used to get drunk, right? Like I would say, let's go drinking.
Yeah.
Right. And then like suggest shoplifting.
What?
Yeah. I was not like, I didn't do a lot of dates, but like I would.
No.
Yeah. I always thought that would be a good way to see what somebody was like, is to suggest, hey, let's do some shoplifting.
How old were you when you did that?
I was in my 20s.
You were not.
Yeah.
In your 20s, you did that.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Well, I'm here now. I don't know if it
worked. No, but it, like, okay.
What do you mean? Define worked.
Did this lead to a second date? Did this end in the act of coitus? I'm going technical here, Bob. Was there a penis inserted into a vagina?
All right, let's talk about Kawhi.
Okay.
So I'm watching the other day with Spicy P. Mm-hmm. He gets his 44.
Oh.
And there was that great moment at the end of the game where Kyle Lowry is demanding that Nick Nurse take him out of the game so he can have the standing O,
it was
right?
Great.
And I thought to myself, I mean, it was nice that Kawhi was there and he was clapping, but it was how much more they felt like a team and he didn't necessarily have to be part of it on the court. Mm-hmm. It was good that they won, but yeah. He didn't play that game, right? Kawhi was sitting that game with a sore knee.
Yes.
And I looked at Kyle and I thought, you know, I love this guy. Like, he really understood the moment. He read the room perfectly.
He is the opposite of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, you know, is more athletic and more slick, but is...
Unstoppable on the right night.
On the right night, but he's also a horrible leader who's divisive. And Boston, they are far happier when they play without him. Lowry is a... Like, we've seen so many great moments of leadership from Lowry. We saw when there was a back-to-back with the second night against the Phoenix Suns. Crappy team. They kept Kawhi Leonard out. And by the way, this is not me saying anything negative against him as a leader. They are doing the right thing with him, with load management. We'll make jokes and be cynical about it, but they're doing the right thing. And Kyle Lowry, all reports, he was supposed to be out. And they're like, no, I want to play. And he played. He played a lot of minutes. They won. Then there was a Philly game where reports were, again, it was a back-to-back, he wasn't going to play. And he's like, I'm not missing this game. It's Philly. And he played.
Do you also think he wants to get in there when he knows Kawhi's not going to be in there so he can have some fun? And show, like, you know, piss on some corners, a little bit like this is
probably
still his club. It would make sense.
It would make sense for him. So, and then you had that leadership, and then the leadership you mentioned of going, hey, Nick, get him out, give him a standing ovation. He deserves that moment.
It was just great, and watching him cajole the crowd, like just waving his arms above his head to get everybody into him. I want to talk about that game a little bit, because even though it was just Washington, they're not good.
Nope.
And they're playing at home, and that's the kind of team you would expect to pound. They didn't start off very well, and then they had the big swing, and it was Pascal's
midway
big night.
In the third quarter, yeah.
I felt like there was something that happened that game for me. The Raptors became likable again. They haven't had a very likable year. I think we've seen them be excellent. Mm-hmm. We've seen them kind of falter, whatever. But because, like, you know, there's this courtship of Kawhi thing, and there's a kind of a almost like a sleazy obviousness to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there is.
Right? Like, it's not a very lovable courtship.
It's not a all for one, one for all. The problem is, we loved and admired DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
And we also appreciated his skill. With Kawhi Leonard, we're in awe of his skill, but we're not in love with him. We don't have any sort of ownership, like just the relationship between fans with a player they've grown up with. There's none of that. There is a very cold division.
So the friendship between DeMar and Kyle is gone, mm-hmm. and there is clearly no relationship on court or off between their two best players now, between Kawhi and Carl, Kyle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. Players that we have loved in the past aren't having the best years, like Fred VanVleet, we love him. Not playing very well this year.
Nope.
OG Anunoby, I love him, but he's not playing very well. CJ Miles.
Yeah.
You know, great guy, bad year. And the exception has been Pascal Siakam. And when he scored those 44 and when the place erupted, and it was just post-trade deadline where, you know, you and I were like, oh, we'd give him up for Anthony Davis. But they just, for the first time for me, felt like a team that was likable. When I watched Kyle try to get the crowd into it on Pascal's big night, and then afterwards he made that beautiful comment. Oh my God, did you hear what he said?
No, but his father.
But yeah. His father? Yeah. Oh my God, you just want to cry. You know, like, he's obviously a guy with a lot of heart. I feel like maybe these moments are false. Maybe they're individual. But for me, they stopped being a team that looked like they were willing to sell their soul just for a championship.
Yep.
And they started to feel like a team again.
Yeah, that's well said. I got to tell you, I like that more than the whole Marner stuff.
I didn't say Marner was leaving.
I'm kidding. That was a joke.
They're a team of millennials, Matt. They're a team of superstar millennials. Well, do you think they're going to behave like this is 1982?
No, look at the NBA. All the millennials are incredibly popular players. And they're really good. And they're all miserable. But you're right.
It's true,
they're,
man.
They're all miserable. Miserable.
The NBA is so emo these days.
They are. It's like, you're 25, you're a millionaire, and you're incredible at what you do. And anyway, you're right about that game. It's a good point. That was a really lovable game. And you know who also, Bob, and they might not have realized, you know who agrees with you?
Hmm.
Jack Armstrong.
Oh, he was on fire that night.
He was so much on fire that you started to pick it up from different social media circles. Everyone was saying the same thing. They're like,
he was trending that night.
He was. Like, he was talking over Devlin, but not out of...
And he had the great line about how he used to have a 40 back in the day.
Yeah.
But it was in a paper bag.
Oh, yeah. And I think for Jack, I think everything you're expressing, Jack felt the same thing, and it manifested itself in his broadcast.
Yeah, I feel like there were so many questions that went before the trade deadline, what was going to happen. And the Marc Gasol thing is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see how it all plays out. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
But he's the kind of player who shares the ball. He mm-hmm. plays, quote unquote, the right way.
Yep.
So it's not like he came into the town and was just like complaining or wondering where his touches are. Like,
yeah.
So that feels very promising.
The crowd went nuts because I was at his first home game. Crowd went nuts when he came in. And yeah, Gasol, listen, he's a grown ass man,
right?
He knows the stakes. He knows his own NBA mortality. He views this as an opportunity to do something great in the postseason. With Memphis, they got to the Western Finals once and they got swept by the Spurs. So for him, it represents. For Jeremy Lin, who's never got out of the first round.
Also another reason the Raptors have become more likable. Because even though he's not Linsanity anymore,
yeah.
He's still a very likable player and pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
a pretty good, dependable, somewhere around replacement level player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He'll make the bench better.
Well, and with Fred VanVleet out, you really did need somebody who could step in.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a more traditional point guard. We really do need ball movement. I just weed. I wee fouled.
Well, we
I don't care. I love the Raptors. I'm not apologizing for nothing.
Absolutely.
I'm in a better mood now, though.
You are. By the way, you want to put a better mood? An idea that Jeff Pollock and I came up with.
Okay.
We have this dream. And again, we both love you. Mm-hmm. We have this vision of that eventually your lovely daughter, Charlotte.
Yep.
We want the two of you to go for your driver's license at the same time. Where at first it looks like helicopter parent keeping an eye on their child.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's the two of you going for your driver's license. We videotape it. This will be in a bunch of years. So who knows how we, you know, view content. But I think this would be a great idea.
Can I be honest with you for a second?
Yep.
She's already started talking about how she thinks she's going to get her license first.
Yes.
Oh, every time she brings it up, I can't not think of you.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, that happened the other day, and that's with my lawyer. He's like my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this is not some read now, but we were giggling about it. And I think that if anyone out there is listening, if you need a lawyer for your will or state trust or litigation, whatever, and you don't have one, I'm just going to recommend our guy, Jeff Pollock at jeffpollock.com. Super good guy, incredibly successful, very good at his job, and just a nice guy and very relaxed. 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. If you like us and you like the pod, support the people that support us. Jeff Pollock supports us. jeffpollock.com.
I got a question for you, Maddie.
Yep.
I don't know why this popped into my head the other day. It just did. I wanted to share it with you.
Yeah.
Let's play a quick game of Rank 'Em.
Okay.
I realize that three of the best things in this world all sound like they start with the ch sound.
Okay.
Isn't this a silly thing to realize? There's ch. Rank these three things that I realize I love mm-hmm. as much as life itself.
Okay.
Chips.
Chips.
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Cheese.
Cheese. Okay. I'm going to put chips at number three. And it's nothing against them. Bob, it's nothing against them. Okay. Something has to go third. Chips are going to be at number three for me because I'm more of a sweet than a salt guy. Between chocolate or cheese, the adult frou-frou part of me is going to say the cheese. Like you get a good gray owl, you drizzle a little honey on it, and obviously fantastic with wine. But I'm going to stay true to me and where I've been my entire life and, you know, my waistband. Chocolate, then cheese, then chips.
Okay, so it's totally wrong.
All right.
And I realized and I found myself surprised by this. Because you know me and chips.
Yeah, you're
chips. I actually have a painting of a Lay's bag of chips in my home.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's art. It's not even just food, it's art.
In the Lay's world, you're considered a war criminal.
What does that mean?
It means you've murdered so many chips over the years.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I have mowed a lot.
Yeah.
But the answer is cheese. Cheese is the greatest, and I'll tell you why. Because without it, nothing works anymore.
Okay, you
like,
know,
think about all the things that you need cheese for, okay, whether it's pizza or cheeseburgers or a grilled cheese sandwich.
Bob, you're right. I was thinking of just chunks of cheese.
Right.
I wasn't thinking of it in the full milieu. I mispronounced that. But no, you're right. If you're going to include...
Did you call it a milieu?
Whatever. You're right. Cheese is number one when you think about pizza and, of course, pasta with the Parmesan. Yes, it's cheese number one. Then it's chocolate, then it's chips.
Chocolate I would put last, but that's a personal thing because of, you know, my relationship with chips. But it got me to thinking about how important cheese is.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I would probably be vegan. I could give up meat before I could give up cheese.
I could see that from you. I'm going to need meat first, you know.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Understandable. Yeah. Anyway, just a random weird thought about these three things that are so important in my life, and they sound basically the same.
Right.
So I just thought I would throw that out there.
Okay, I like that.
How much longer do we have in this pod?
Oh, we got plenty of time. We got like about 20 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk more Leafs? Because we actually didn't get into the... I derailed it with my...
I get where you're going.
My actual hot take.
Yeah.
As opposed to your incredible hot take, which was, I bet in a couple years, that amazing player... When the cap goes up and
Bob,
like that super hot take of yours that said when he's making
Bob, throw out a poll question mm-hmm. about Nylander and the amount of money he's getting paid. See how much negativity you get back.
It's all venue. Throw out that same poll question on The Athletic. And it's going to be 90-10 people saying, of course Nylander's going to be.
Athletic, bunch of nerds over there.
Nerds that are right, though.
Yeah, before we get back to sports.
Okay.
I want to talk about a movie that I saw.
Oh, okay, which one?
Maybe, I think my favorite movie of the year, the one I'm rooting for Best Picture is...
Spider-Man?
A Star is Born.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Just for everything I want from a movie and just sweeping and just degree of difficulty for Bradley Cooper, there was a lot there. Also, one of the sweetest scenes, Sam Elliott... When he's in the car with Bradley Cooper.
I haven't seen it, so...
Okay, well, there's a scene with the two of them, and it's incredibly emotional. What I love about the scene, no sweeping camera shots, no music, no musical cues to tell you how you're supposed to feel emotionally. It is a stunning scene. Anyway.
Okay, I like that. By the way, before you go on, can I make a quick observation? It's going to blow your mind. You will never be the same again.
Okay.
Do you know who Sam Elliott is exactly like? Tramp from Lady and the Tramp. A mental image of Tramp. That is Sam Elliott. Human Tramp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying there, Matt?
Yeah. That's
I'm just
good.
I got the mustache. I'm just going to talk like Sam Elliott for the rest of the pod. Wait a minute. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. I'm going to make you feel better about things.
Oh, thanks.
It's going to be okay there, Matt.
I don't know how good that job you did there on the Sam Elliott
voice. What are you talking about? I almost swore. In fact, fuck you. That is such a great Sam Elliott. How dare you?
George,
I even
scale 1 to 10. When do you give that Sam Elliott impersonation? 7? Okay.
Raquel Messina, who works with us, my Sam Elliott, how was it?
I would give it an 8?
I've only seen him in
like 2 things. I'm also surprised Raquel
he's the same in every movie, so you've seen all his movies now.
I've seen every movie nominated for Best Picture this year, and I'm sorry, have you seen many of them or just Star Is Born?
No, I've seen a lot. I've seen most of them.
I've seen most.
Because I think Star Is Born is an incredible accomplishment. I think Roma is so incredible, but I think The Favourite's the best movie because it actually took the concept of a palace movie, which everybody's done a million times, and flipped it.
I'm going to see. I'm seeing The Favourite the next couple of weeks. Here's my thoughts on Roma. It's beautiful, and if it wins any of the technical things, it wins. Good on it. Give it to it. The hospital scene is it. I stay with it. It follows me. Also, the riot scene, and then the one by the ocean when they're all hugging. Those three scenes are incredible. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about those three scenes. The problem is there's a lot of filler, which is a love letter, and it's for the director, it's a little bit of just a love letter to his past. It's not necessarily the best storytelling. But I'll say this about Roma. If it wins Best Picture, I won't be angry. Yeah. You know how there's certain movies where if it wins, you're like, that's bullshit. That cannot win. Black Panther might be the third best action superhero film this year. Avengers Infinity War is number... Actually, no, it's number two. I liked Wasp, but that's me getting angry. Free Solo. You must see Free Solo. Do you know what it is, Bob?
I sure do, Matt.
Okay, you know, it is pretty good.
Not the Han Solo one.
No, it's not Han Solo.
No, I know what it is. And by the way, best movie of the year, I like that Buster Scruggs.
Okay, it's growing on me, like your mustache.
It is good. Like, you just got to stare at the mustache, listen to the voice, and I'm going to try to make you feel better about things, and then eventually get shot by bikers.
The outstretched arm, that was nice on the shoulder.
Yeah, does that, right?
That was a nice touch.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Free Solo.
I've heard about it. It's really good. It's all about free climbing, right?
It's about
free climbing's nuts, Matt. Free climbing, can I just, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
we'll talk about free climbing.
I was being quiet like Sam Elliott for a while, and now I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah.
By the way, if you don't know who he is, Google them. Yeah. All right. Who the hell free climbs? Do you ever see picture this? People are like 500, 600 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. No ropes. What's up with that?
Well,
that's insane.
It is a very select group of people. You've got a very unique relationship with death. I mean, that's first and foremost. There's also you are chasing perfection, because to do what this guy did in Free Solo, he climbed not 500 feet, 3,000 feet, Yosemite El Capitan. It is brilliant. It is beautiful. You'll be stressed the whole time, but you've got to be chasing perfection. You've got to have an unusual relationship with death, and you cannot be in a relationship romantically.
Okay, that's all. That's all nicely expressed. I don't get it in the same way that I don't get skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's the plane works.
Yeah, there it is.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, you're going up. You're doing fine.
I guess you make a good point about, like, I guess that would be sort of like the absolute apex of the thrill seeker, like you make a little mistake and you die.
Oh, yeah. And they showed all the profiles.
Well, Georgie, come up back on the mic for a second. George likes to race motorcycles. And so explain to me this concept of you're going over 200 kilometers on a bike and, you know, you're basically just wearing leathers and a helmet and you know you'll die if you crash.
I'm a very distracted person in a lot of aspects of my life. It is the only place where I have to be so present that I feel everything. I'm not an adrenaline junkie. You know this by me. I'm a pretty chill dude in a lot of respects. I'm not even competitive. I don't even care about winning. But this idea of you have to be so present because the consequence is the second most significant consequence of your life, right, is death. So if you don't get it right, you die. And I kind of enjoy that experience. Plus, I have no fear at all in life about anything. But when I'm going really fast and I have to hit the brakes before a turn, I am out of my fucking mind scared. And that's such a cool feeling. Like, for me, it's such a cool feeling. That's why I do it. But I also know that I'm on the ground and technology is there. I don't understand the free solo stuff because I just look at it through my prism and think, even if I got up there, I couldn't get down. Even if I got up there on my best day, I'm just letting go.
That is such a dumb answer.
I know. Not
afraid. Oh, like, not, no, though, come,
you know,
on.
Me, but you know I'm not.
You're supposed to be afraid.
But I'm not.
Afraid. What about spiders, especially ones that have hair on them?
There's a black widow that lives by my place in LA. I'm not afraid of this stuff. I'm afraid of
you know, in and go, I don't want to get bit by a black widow, but I actually don't have that kind of, that chip in my brain isn't working, the one that says survive. So I get on the motorcycle, and plus I love riding bikes and I love the sound. It's musical and it's gnarly as hell. That's why I love it.
They nailed the landing, but someone not afraid of death, I'm confused by that.
That's like literally, that's the...
Okay, so you are afraid of death. Okay, good. That's all I need to hear. People that say they're not afraid of death are lying.
You're afraid of death to the point where you believe you tried to organize your life so perfectly that death, there's no room for death to sneak in.
You want to hear the most macabre thing?
Yes.
I've never admitted this.
This is a weird pod.
It's a really weird pod.
Where do we go? Weren't we just talking about the Raptors?
I blame the space. I am trying to do my best so that the final moment I'm on Earth, I'm going to have just the right thought.
Really?
Like, I think about the final moment.
Right. You want the perfect final thought.
I want the perfect, so that when the last moment, you know, like in There Will Be Blood, at the end of the movie, when after he's killed the priest in the bowling alley, and Daniel Plainsview goes, I'm done. Like, I want to have that, but with a more positive, shiny, happy thing, but that definitive moment. Anyway, Pascal Siakam, the remarkable thing, 44 points, and they didn't call one play for him. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
And actually, I'm not even sure he got all the whistles he deserved to get.
Oh, no. No,
but
no,
he plays kind of erratically, and I think that messes up refs sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, if you can play more under control, then I think it's more obvious when you're being fouled, but he always looks like he's had a couple drinks when he's coming up the court. He just looks like he's got this loosey-goosey, yeah, sure, I'll go drive to the basket. I'm good with that.
God, it was a good game.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, so Anthony Davis came out of the game last night.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I want to talk about this for a second, because you and I love Anthony Davis.
Yes.
You and I love the NBA.
Yes.
You and I love the idea of the empowered player.
Yes.
Now, we know that he's going to get dealt in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And there was debate as to whether, because he is still with New Orleans, he should play.
Yep.
And it's not a debate for the team, obviously. They've got an arena to fill, and they want their best player on the floor. But would he sit out? And obviously, this looks pretty suspect. I didn't actually see the hit. Have you seen the hit?
I have, Bob.
And?
I'm going to tell you something right now. Thoughts and prayers to Anthony Davis and to his family and to his fans. I don't know what the survival rate is of a bruised muscle contusion, but that is currently what he is going through. And Bob, I don't know if you know this. There is no known cure for the bruised muscle contusion that Anthony Davis has afflicted a very tiny part of his body. So,
won't see him again this year.
He did the
thoughts and prayers. Thoughts, I love that. That's so good.
He did the version of sitting out by plane, like just going through the motions. I mean, Carmelo Anthony would give more of a bleep than what Anthony Davis. It's like the great thing with Anthony Davis is, even for everyone that goes full player apologist, and I get the player apologist thing, because in the 90s, players got crapped on more than they should have. So you're going to get a swing in the pendulum. But even Anthony Davis, the most ardent, you know, millennial player apologist, is like, oh, this is a tough one.
It feels like, you know, we talked about how the Raptors became more likable in that moment against Washington.
Yeah.
I feel like this generation of basketball players, and you and I have apologized for them and loved them so much, but in this particular moment, I don't know if I'm ready to go here with them.
And he's walking out with Rich Paul. I'm sure they were FaceTiming LeBron. Like, it's just the worst.
It is starting to get a bit stupid, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard the pod between Bill Simmons and Chris Bosh?
I won't listen to it.
You have to.
No.
Why not?
I don't want to.
Do you hate Bosh?
I don't want to listen to that propaganda.
What do you mean?
And listen, you know the part when he's like talking about how, oh, it's always hard to get to the border and all that kind of stuff?
I thought you said you wouldn't listen to it.
No, I've read bits. I mean, there's bits and pieces excerpts. Are floating around all over the place.
I like the part where he said it was irritating to, you know, he goes, we're NBA players. We got a lot of jewelry.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of time in customs.
Yeah. What are you, Liz Taylor, with all your jewelry? I wanted to go.
I thought that was actually kind of funny and true, because I know I'm irritated whenever I have to go over, like, onto a plane. Like, I don't even like unpacking my laptop.
Back when,
George, back on the mic.
In the Much Music days, we did a show with Korn, and I think they were in Lisbon or something. It was like Korn in Lisbon, or they were somewhere in Europe. And on camera, the guys from Korn, they were just like, this place is really old. And there's no Taco Bell. And I remember watching going, you guys are the fucking worst. Chris Bosh's excuse is the
fucking
no, it's good. I like
flossy
it.
Flossy idiot excuse I've ever heard.
Okay, so I got a question now for everybody. What right. are accept?
I'm going to stand up like Sally Jesse Raphael.
All right, Matt,
going to the crowd. Like you're Phil Donahue.
You're not exactly a minimalist, but you are certainly a guy with, you know, you're not flashy.
Nope.
What is acceptable male jewelry?
Oh, this is a good question.
This is a tough one because I feel very strongly about this.
Well, first you got to throw away when it's somewhat like personal mementos that say from another family member, anything like that.
Religious items, I think, are fine.
Religious items, fully allowed. Although I will say this about the cross. Yeah. Mike Singletary, I think he actually took the cross that Jesus was crucified on when he was on the sideline. Like the giant wooden cross. It felt like from Dusk Till Dawn.
I'm glad you brought this up because the thing about the cross is there is a certain scale. And if you surpass that scale, you look scary.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
ooh,
like,
yeah,
like
the cross. Yeah.
Like if it's a small cross, you look like someone that I could count on.
Yeah.
And if it's a big cross, it's like, oh, I could never trust that person.
I got to get away from that
person.
Right.
That person's apologizing. This is like my thought.
There's a sweet spot.
Okay. You know, the praying hands tat and underneath and like the Gothic lettering, it'll be like only God can judge me.
Yeah.
I always think to myself, what did you do?
Yeah, exactly.
What did you do that's so bad that you need to tell the world I am beyond judgment,
also,
except for the Almighty?
And that is the worst one. Like, and I hate when athletes do it. Only God can judge me. No, I think a judge can and a jury. And let's say you drive drunk and you run over 12 runaways. I think more than God can judge you at this moment. Like, basically what you're saying is I can live a judgment-free. I can live a life where there's no ramifications for my actions.
Well, wait. God is super judgy.
Yeah, exactly.
God is super judgy. He's, trust me, God is judging you. He is.
In fact, you probably maybe want me judging you than God. I'd probably give you a better ride than God would.
But whenever you see a cross in a horror movie,
yeah,
that's always the villain.
Oh, yeah. It's always the villain.
It's always the villain.
And why is that, Bob? Liberal Hollywood hates organized religion. It hates middle America, always demonizing Jesus. Actually, I'm not 100% wrong there.
Where were we going with this? Oh, Anthony Davis,
no,
right.
No, we are on male jewelry.
Oh, male jewelry, right. To top. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's the problem. Like,
okay, so
I think George is like he's the Mendoza line.
Okay, so what about pinky rings? I say no, unless you are actually in the mob, and then yes.
Yeah, no pinky ring.
What about big necklaces? Like, I like rope gold. But I think I might like it only ironically.
I think big clunky necklaces is when you are over 65, probably a female, and the first glass of Chardonnay is before 11 a.m. Like the really chunky. Like I don't like distracting things. Like,
right.
I want to focus on someone's face and who they are.
Now, what about watches? I wasn't into watches until I started watching Ray Donovan. Mm-hmm. And like that guy was so handsome and his watches made him even handsomer.
Yeah.
So I think a good watch is good.
You're never going to wear a watch. Because a watch to you says, you know,
I owned one.
Yeah, there's no way you're gonna wear a watch. Real quick, by the way.
Yes.
CGiant.ca.
How are you gonna get to CGiant from talking about pinky rings?
Let me tell you something right now.
I dare you to make this connection.
Okay, you want me to do it?
Go for it.
You know why I don't wear a pinky ring?
Why?
Because a pinky ring doesn't help to facilitate the number one finger, the number one. Because when I think of number one, I think of Seat a Giant, because they're the number one place for all your concert tickets, sporting event tickets. You know what Ticketmaster is? They're the pinky finger of the hand. Well, when I want a strong hand.
Hey, hang on, be cool. Ticketmaster may want to sponsor us one day.
I love Ticketmaster, just not. No, seatgiant.ca. Use the discount code Bob and Matt. And you will save some money off your purchase. We'll get a little bit of the money, which is good because podcast ain't free. I mean, I have to park here near where George lives. And, you know, there's no free parking around here. So seatgiant.ca, discount code Bob and Matt.
Are people happy Hainsey's back on the first line?
No. No one's happy that Ron Hainsey's back on the first line. No.
So where do you think this originated? Is this a Jake Muzzin thing? A Morgan Riley thing?
I think it's a... I think it's a couple things. One, it's Mike Babcock wants Morgan Riley on his natural side. So that was the first thing. And then two, it was about splitting up the defenseman because I don't think there's a lot of faith and trust in Jake Gardner and the Gardner-Zaitsev line. I think it's a lot of things. I don't think it's just one thing. I don't think it's just, you know, Babcock loves Hainsey. I think it's
deeper than that.
I would agree, although it's kind of a middle finger to Kyle Dubas, whose big move was to bring in Jake Muzzin, and then you've basically said, the role in which you envisioned him, I don't plan to do that.
Yeah.
But you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, who's got a bigger conundrum? Nick Nurse with two centers in Ibaka and Gasol, or Mike Babcock trying to figure out what to do with Jake Muzzin?
Oh, it's Babcock.
I would agree.
Absolutely. It's Babcock. When in doubt, when you can't think of something to talk about the Leafs on radio, you always just go to the defense.
You know, I keep coming back to this because it's not like I'm... Like, I think Babcock's obviously an amazing coach.
Yeah.
Very intelligent systems, like all of it, right? But like most people, he's got his biases. Mm-hmm. And he clearly favors older players.
Older veterans,
it's not necessarily a bad thing, except that the league's getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
That's a bit complicated. Like the Andreas Johnsson, I know he's hurt now, but putting him on the fourth line and giving Connor Brown more minutes than him is nuts. Like, that's just, there's not really, it's not defensible.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think. Except unless you want to make character.
Well, I mean, his argument would be that, you know, we want offense on all four lines, but Andreas Johnsson deserves more.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous because the best offensive player is the one getting the fewer minutes. So,
I know.
No, it's not a defensible point. So I guess I just tend to, I don't like the way other coaches like a Gerard Gallant, you know, doesn't get the recognition. Like Barry Trotz is amazing. Mm-hmm. Look at what Barry Trotz is doing. But somehow we've all bought into this cult, like this Babcock cult that somehow, you know, he's the Bill Belichick of the NHL. I just don't think that's true.
He's not.
Which is not an insult against the guy, but he's not so far ahead of the field.
Yeah. One cup. Yep. Just one cup.
George points up his finger. One cup.
Yep.
Says the guy over there with the Habs fan.
We got to go, by the way, Bob.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I'm
finally in a better mood. I need this.
You're going to stay here.
I need this. Let's just do a second hour. Let's do a second hour and talk about cheese.
Green pea, your parking
top
session.
Top five cheeses. Top five cheeses.
We can do that next week?
No, we're doing it right now. Top five cheeses.
Okay, let's see. Parmesan's going to be in there. Gray Owl's going to be there.
What the hell's Gray Owl?
It's a type of cheese. Gray Owl.
There's no cheese called Grey
Owl.
Yes,
there is, Bob. 100%.
Are you sure that's not a wine or a villain from a superhero movie or something?
It could be as well. Okay, we got to go. We can't do top five cheeses. I'm going to let George say goodbye first.
Yeah, thanks for letting us use the place, Georgie.
Thanks for letting us do this here, George. This is maybe the oddest podcast. I blame the geography. Thanks so much, George.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being part of it. Thanks for being part of the House of Strombo. By the way, nutritional yeast is the only cheese ready for a vegan now.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Loved having George here. Miss you, buddy. Bob?
Yeah, what do you want?
This has been fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Spicy B, good luck with all your the creative endeavors that you can't say what you're doing on the record.
No, I can say what we're doing.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, I'm not going to get into it.
Bye, Bob.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.